I have some things that I want to show here. And if the two of us could have a chair up here where we could watch these, please. Because we want to comment on these. Wait, let me see. Let me get this. Let's see. All right, would you play the first one, please?
Today, we're just wanting to dedicate the dome.
A special shout out to everybody on the Victory Channel that is with us today as well. Can we give them a shout on the Victory Channel this morning?
25 years ago, we started, Jenny and I, receiving the message of faith from your ministry.
Praise God.
Look what God has done. He has done the miraculous, the supernatural, against all odds.
I want you to write on that envelope, door to destiny. But I wanted to put a sling in your hand that you could put your stone in to slay your giant if you choose to do so.
When Solomon dedicated the temple, he didn't dedicate the people because it wasn't Solomon. It belonged to him. This is not Andre and Jenny. This is the people. And the Lord said, I want a place to place my name. I will place my name there. And the people that come there will know the power and the presence of my name. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And we dedicate this place today. And we call this ground holy.
Yes.
This is holy ground. This faith dome. This faith church at one time was a vision. You and I couldn't see it. He did. So did Jimmy. This was an invisible vision, but once faith was released, faith began to work.
Don't you know angels were involved? You know they were.
Coming to you from the revival capital of the world. We live by faith. We believe it in our heart, and we say it with our mouth. And when we stand praying, we forgive if we have all against you. It just shall live by faith. That's not a statement. It's a commandment. All the people dedicated the temple, a place where faith, hope, and love are preached and abide. I declare this is a place where the glory of God resides, a place where healing lives.
I am really...
Welcome, welcome, welcome wherever you are today. It's going to be a marvelous day. It is a day of dedication to the house of the Lord today. I want you to welcome to East London, South Africa, Brother Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah.
One of the things... in the very early years of Glory in My Ministry was the joy of the Lord dropping an impossible project into our hearts.
That's right.
And take the base of the covenant scriptures and by faith see it happen right before your eyes. And then when it comes to pass, It's when your dream takes upon itself faith, and then it cannot be stopped. Glory to God.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
The word of the living God, faith in God, declaring the covenants of God, will go forth from this place around the world.
Yes.
And we pray the dedication of this building, this cathedral of God, and we dedicate this place today. And we call this ground holy.
Yes. Yes. Come on.
This is holy ground.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Wow. Now, Andre and Jenny, are you here this morning? They had to leave. Do you remember me talking to you about the money's in the floor? The money's in the floor? They had that very special wood, and I was on a golf cart riding around in the middle of that thing with all those pillars and everything in the middle of it. That very rare wood paid for all of that. It's paid in full. They paid cash in all of that building. I said, Andre, how much did it bring? He said, more than enough. There it is. There's that very, very rare wood that it's against the law to even cut the trees anymore. The old floorboards packed, stacked, and ready for transport to Cape Town. And that paid for that entire renovation of that old building and turned it into the Faith Dome. And I was blessed to be there and dedicated. And now, let's see where we are here. That was 1 and 2 and 3. Yeah, watch this. This is good.
I remember God saying specifically to me, I've got this.
So when she was born, that was 2005. You were at home. I was working here at the ministry. I was working in the prayer department. And I got a call, 11 o'clock at night, I think. She said, hey, we're going into labor. Everything seemed normal, right? Like,
yeah,
you were
so this
seeming
was
normal.
About 3 weeks before my due date, but that wasn't abnormal because I had been to the doctor and he was like, honestly, you could probably go into labor any day. And this was our second child. So we'd kind of already been through the process and everything was pretty much as it should be.
Yeah.
I had no complications in my pregnancy or anything like that. So it was just like I went into labor.
Yeah. We get there. We check in like normal. She's getting set up. And they sent me down to work on insurance paperwork. And as I'm walking into the room, they're busy hooking her up. And they're like, we got to move her into the emergency room. We got to get this baby out right now. Her heart, and I'm looking at the monitor. Her heart rate's going all over the place. And I remember standing in the room by myself. They had all moved out. It was just 10 seconds later. And the Lord spoke to me. I got this. So I turn back and I look through the door. I look through the hole in the door. I look through the other hole in the door. And the nurse brings out little Avery right into those windows where I could see her. And she was lifeless. She was gray and super lifeless. I can see her set the baby down, which is out of my view. I can't see. So I spin around and I say, breathe in Jesus' name. The doctor told me 3 times within maybe an 8-hour period that she could not make it out of this. Like, this is a very serious situation.
They just put me under general anesthetic, you know, so I'm coming out and I was half conscious and I had 2 doctors in my face telling me, they said, your baby is dying and we're taking her to another hospital.
Throughout the night, we figured out that there was a blood infection. She had a collapsed lung and
pneumonia.
Yeah, she wasn't breathing on her own actually at the time. It was just kind of one of those moments where really, honestly, the teaching comes up, right? Like, the teaching of this place comes up, and it gets activated in those moments.
And it's those moments where, I mean, what you put in really does come out. It's like learning from this ministry, the power of God's word, and speaking the power of God, putting that in your heart, and that becoming reality, that is what comes out in those moments when you get pressed. It was really like a bubble of grace around us. And even though we were fighting for our child's life, I just never had a doubt in my mind that God was going to come through for her, that God was going to right the situation. It was steps along the way, so it'd be like, okay, well, we have to get her breathing on her own. And then it was like her platelets were down, you know. And so it was just like every, you know, well, they increased a little bit, but not enough. So it was just like, we just keep praying. We just keep speaking the word.
She had 2 blood transfusions.
She had 3 blood transfusions. And with everyone, we would just pray and believe and stand on the Word of God.
We had another test, and they said it was all fine. You know, it was all good.
Yeah, so it was really just a miracle to go from having the baby, them telling us we're not sure if she's going to live, to 2 weeks later being discharged from the third hospital that she had been in, but literally like clean bill of health, going home with a complete clean bill of health. And there's just no explanation for that except the power of God's word. It's so important to put the word in because you don't know when an attack is coming. And because I had been taught through this ministry, my family had been taught through this ministry, and my parents had taught me, like, you put the word in. You know, it's that daily, you know, putting the word in, speaking the word, having that in your heart. It made all the difference in the world.
Partnership really does mean connection. And what's on this ministry, the healing that's on this ministry, is on you as a partner. That, to me, is what partnership means, mm-hmm. that it's a connection, and we're in this together, really.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you that remember the Super Kid movies, that's the reason she looks so familiar to you. Her dad was not only a chief pilot, but he was an examiner for American Airlines. And he and I had a lot of great conversations together. And this one, this is an extremely important. I have two more that I want you to see. They're very important. This one's just magnificent.
One thing that has always stood out for me is this thought that there's always someone praying for me. Like, it doesn't matter what's going on. Kenneth always says to us, I am praying for you. I'm always praying for you. Every time I hear that or I see that written somewhere, there's a reassurance. A couple of years ago at work, there was an incident and there was an investigation that was going to be done, and I got a letter. And usually when you get a letter, there's a thing where they say, oh, we know that this is a difficult time, and if you ever have any issues or you want to speak to someone, ring this number. And so one day I was thinking about everything else going on, and I was going to ring that number, and a thought came to my mind, like, why are you going to the world to ask for help? And the thing about KCM is that every time you get a resource, there's always, we're here for you. We want to pray for you. Ring this number. So I thought, okay, I'll ring KCM and then talk to someone who would actually give me help. So I picked up the phone and I rang the number, and someone, a lady, she spoke to me, and I just said to her, something's going on, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And then she said, let's speak in other tongues. I was like, okay. So we spoke in other tongues for a couple of minutes. And then she prophesied to me, and she said, she talked to me about the angels of God and how God can resolve anything, no matter what it was, and we should cast all our cares on Jesus. A couple of days later, I received a little book. It was about angels. I think it was by Gloria Copeland. So I just read it and I said the prayers, and in a few weeks, everything got resolved. And I think for me, it was so reassuring that I wasn't asked like to go into all the details. It was almost like there was a confidence that it doesn't matter what it is. I just literally cast all my cares in that moment, and I believed that it was done. I did not know how. I didn't have all the answers. I just knew that someone had agreed with me in prayer and that it was all going to get resolved. And it did. So I sent an email and I said, this is what happened. I called and it's all resolved. Thank you so much for praying. And then someone emailed me and said, we were so pleased to hear about God's work in your life. Would you consider becoming a partner? And I was like, okay. So they sent me a link and said if you wanted to read up about what it means to be a partner. So I went online and I read it up and I was like, yes, I want to be a partner. I think knowing and understanding what partnership actually means a lot to me. So knowing that I'm being prayed for every single day. And it's not just words, empty words. It's actually true. Somebody, yes, I know that Jesus is he's my advocate, he's my intercessor. But here right now on this earth, I've got people every single day praying for me. And I know that it doesn't matter what goes on in my world, that I'm being prayed for. And I can just reach out in faith and just take advantage of what God's word has said concerning me. And there's no fear in faith. I think for me, the biggest thing is just knowing that you've got someone to pray with you any day, anytime. And there's so many resources that I just feel like I just take advantage of all the time. I just find any topic, any area in the Word of God that I'm looking for more information, I know where to go. And I think just knowing that you've got somewhere to go and that the door will always be open whatever time you knock, it's amazing. Wow.
Praise God. Now, the reason I wanted you to see that, I was in Venezuela. And in fact, it was the last time I was there. And we came back to the hotel, and there was a young man that walked up to me, and he said, "May I speak to you?" So I stopped. And he said, "Brother Copeland," he said, my little boy, he really sick. And he said, "Well, I'm your partner." And he said, "I go in and my little boy, he really sick." But I said, I start to lay hands on him, but I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I know Brother Copeland and his family pray for me." So I said to the Lord, "I pray for my hijo with Brother Copeland's anointing." And he said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "I laid my hands on him and he was healed." He said, "He well today." And now, where's Elsa? You and Callie, come up here, please. Now, yatta. Uh-huh. That's me. So now, I want to show this piece, and then I want you to comment on it. Okay, watch this now.
The Lord just dropped it in my heart one day as I was praying, and it just dropped on the inside of my heart, and I just spoke it out, and I said, "The healing of the nations motorcycle rally." In the early 70s, we had Brother Copeland come, and he ministered a whole week with Jerry Savelle in a place called White Post, Arizona. And they ministered a faith convention there. They preached faith. During that time was when I was really connected with Brother Copeland and Jerry Savelle. And I believe it was a divine order. I believe it was a divine meeting that we had. You know, at the time I was probably like, 5-6 years old. And when that happened, I looked at that and I said, these guys are so different. You know, we have so many different ministries coming in and into these reservations, but there's something different about these two. One of the things I noticed up front as a kid was they were always giving to the people. They were giving their clothes, or they were giving whatever they had to bless the people. When they were leaving that camp meeting, one of the things that I said to him was, I'm a child here. I said to him, "One of these days, I will preach the word of God like you, and we will preach together." And this is as a child. It came out of my spirit, and well, that happened. The Lord just dropped it in my heart one day as I was praying, and it just dropped on the inside of my heart, and I just spoke it out, and I said, "The healing of the nations motorcycle rally." Well, that's how it came about. And the heart behind it was to bring nations together for healing. It was to bring not only the Indian nations, but also as well as the nations of the world to come. And one of the things the Lord said is, "I'm going to have the nations come to you instead of you going to the nations." And so it is great for these speakers to come to the reservation and be part of the Healing of the Nations motorcycle rally, and to where they sit under the anointed word and get blessed like the rest of the world. And so that's one thing that is really unique about any other meeting on the reservation, is we use the motorcycle as a tool to reach to people and, you know, and to bring new people into the church. You are talking a whole generations of Brother Copeland connected with the Navajo Nation and many other Indian nations. And now we got Healing the Nation that we started, and he's part of it, and he's been coming here to the Navajo Nation to be nothing but a blessing to the Navajo people and different tribes that come here as well, and the nations of the world that come here. And so that's the heart of it, is to bring unity to all the nations and healing to all the nations. There's a lot of things that God is doing, and a lot of things that God is revealing to the First Nation people. And one of the greatest things is there is actually an awakening of the righteousness of God. And that part of it is what Kenneth Copeland Ministries and partner are a part of as well. Everything Covenant of Faith does, because we're partners with KCM and they're partners with us. And this is a partnership to further the gospel, to reach the Indian nations and all the other nations of the world.
Praise God. Now, the reason I wanted you to come up here, Elson and Kelly, they tried to kill this man. Shot him point blank. Said he had to die. But he didn't. The devil tried to take him out, but he wouldn't go, because he learned as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old boy to walk in faith and believe God and walk in it. Amen. And now, little Callie, come here, baby. Now, here, give your testimony, because you don't look a whole lot Navajo. No.
So, as a child and as a baby, I was adopted from Seoul, South Korea. But I was adopted into the Navajo Nation, into our people. So, those are my clans, and that is who I am today, and I am Navajo. So I was raised on the Navajo Nation, on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and it's an honor to be here with you all.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What all started with one invitation from Kenneth Bigishi, who started a church. He just took a stick with white post church and stuck it in the ground and wouldn't quit and kept on witnessing and kept on. And he saw those tents and things that were there. And so we were there and in this great tent meeting. And so, and Kenneth took us, and we went from Hogan to Hogan, and he was teaching in Navajo. And we were there, and we watched it in action as he went from Hogan to Hogan, winning people to the Lord. And they were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he was reading his Navajo Bible. And he just kept doing this and kept doing this until it is now White Post Church, Arizona.
That's right. It became a whole community.
Became a whole, built around a church. That's the way it ought to be. The community is built around the church. And in that first meeting, there were people that came in there, you know, with, and Kenneth was telling me about this. He said, when I first started, he said, most were walking. And some had wagons and some rode horses.
Right.
But then I noticed during the offering, there were folded clothes, pretty and nice. and had the and there are those that they're the rocks out there are just gorgeous when you polish them, and they become jewelry. Mm-hmm. And they were placed down in front there. And Kenneth told me, he said, now, this is the reason why we bring the offering, because we present it. And he said, those pretty stones, they said they polished them themselves. And he said, now, none of the members of my church are riding horses unless they want to. He said, the government opened up some areas in here right where we are, and now everybody has a truck or a pickup or whatever they want to drive.
You prophesied.
Yes.
You prophesied. He came in 1972, and there was no money. We never heard of currency, American currency. And he came and he prophesied for finances and wealth and all of that to come. You prophesied the mine to come in. And the people have lived off that whole, in the White Post area. The power plant came in. The coal mine came in. And people lived off that and still living off that. And majority of the people that got hired there were faith people.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah. And that has funded the gospel on the reservation.
Amen. That's the reason I wanted you to hear this.
Yes, good.
Because there are situations on those reservations that I particularly don't like. But Elson and his dad and Kenneth Bagishi opened it up. Amen. And the nation has prospered. And they wanted to run him for office. He said, I don't want the office. They said, we're going to run you anyway. And he said, well, I won't campaign. So he just said, well, oh, day, Lord, you just do whatever you want to do. Well, what happened?
So I go, I'm not going to campaign. They wanted me to run for office. I'm like, no, I don't want to be part of a tribal government. And so one evening I was sitting there. Usually they call me to come in down to the tribal council to pray if they're having a meeting. So I picked up my phone and says, hey, where are you? I'm at home, you know. I'm ready to watch some television, eat dinner, and well, you got to get down here. So, okay, you know, maybe they're having another tribal meeting that I didn't know about. I'll just go down there and pray and come back, you know. So I went down there, and they brought me up to the stage like this and says, this is our new president.
He didn't campaign. He just said, I'm going home and have supper.
And so it was the people that got me in there. And well, they put me in there for over, I was a president over the land, the land use. And this land use, they called it the Bennett Freeze.
That's why I wanted you to tell it.
So the Bennett Freeze is about the Hopi and the Navajo land dispute. And they froze the land. Well, it went up to Supreme Court. And they never got a place where they come to a peace. So the judge, his name was Robert Bennett in the United States Supreme Court. And so he's the one that froze the land. And here's the deal. For the last 40 years, since the 70s, the land has been frozen. And you couldn't even, by federal law, you couldn't even dig a hole in your yard. You couldn't even repair homes. You couldn't even repair a window. So the last 40 years has been frozen. Then God says, I'm going to send my Bennett in there to take care of that.
Yeah, he did.
And I didn't know that. And then they put me over that. I was the president over that. Now it was where that, I think was 1.5 million acres of land was frozen. Well, we unthawed that. And we start developing the land. And so, you know, that's what he's talking about is that's what happened, how the Lord used me. And again, there's the Lord that opened all the doors. And now we built homes, we built communities, we ran water, we ran electricity, and continue to grow. Now, this 1.5 million acres is still moving forward now.
Praise God. And it opened up cell phones and
cell towers.
Up,
yeah. And they were saying, well, what can we do to bring more revenue. Well, again, I just said we start praying about it. When we start having these meetings to say, hey, let's put some cell towers up there. Well, nobody ever thought of it. See, you got to understand, reservation is probably like 30 years behind in infrastructure. So, you know, there's still people live out there with no running water, no electricity. And then now you're talking cell towers? How are we going to do that, you know? And so we did, again, we just allowed the Holy Spirit to lead us, and then we got the right people to come together. And, you know, next thing you know, we had, you know, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, all wanting to get in.
Yeah, sure they do.
And now we have cell towers and moving forward, yeah.
Because of President Bennett that didn't campaign.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yes.
And then in Hidden Springs.
That's another story.
Yeah. Because of the land dispute, the waters had dried out. And there's a place called Hidden Springs that used to be a flow of water. But because of the land dispute between the two tribes, the land actually dried up its water. And so they call it Hidden Springs. Well, God told me to go move to Hidden Springs and start a church there. So we did. And we start praying over and speaking over the land. And here comes Brother Copeland again. And he prophesies over the land. And after he leaves, and we get him to see the springs coming again, the springs are coming back. They're flowing. And now I got a spring right behind my house, which was dried up, flowing pretty good. And now we have plans of putting water tanks there and getting water out to the people.
And the eagles came back.
Yeah, and the eagles came back. Behind my house, we live, there's a cliff about 1,000 feet up in the air. That's where every winter the eagles come. Well, the eagles didn't return for years. Now, life came back to that place, and now the eagles have returned, and this is where the eagles receive their strength.
Yes.
And you'll see a lot of eagles come there. You talk about
they shall renew their strength as eagles, and there'll be certain scientists, not heads, that say that really doesn't happen, but it really does.
That's right.
They renew their strength up in those mountains. And I haven't noticed a bald eagle in Washington, D.C., but I've had them at my house. I was sitting right out there on my back porch, and there were some buzzards flying around, and I get tired of those buzzards. They hang around that lake because boats will run over fish and things. So I walked out there in the back and shouted at those things, "You can't stay anywhere but down there on the end of the lake." And I was sitting out there praying in the spirit for my partners. And this buzzard came by there, and I said, "Lord, I'm tired of those buzzards. I sure would like to see a bald eagle." And I looked up, and here this big eagle just came around behind. I just lost my breath, and I ran out there, and he landed right out there in the lake, grabbed him a fish, and left. I don't have buzzards. I have eagles in my life.
That's right.
I wanted you to hear these stories. They are real. Amen. Thank you, Elson. Thank you, Kelly. I wanted you to hear these things. And to know and understand. Now, Elson and Kelly are two. But then there's Deborah. That's Elson's wife. And then there are others. But we're connected and we pray for them a lot. And we call and talk and text back and forth. And he'll text me and he'll text Barry Tubbs and say, what do I need? Well, I need this and that and the other. And I'll text back to Barry and I'll say, well, you know what to do. Get it. air conditioners, computers, and all of that. This is a team. And then I was in a meeting with Billy Brim, the healing of the nations. And there was, I represented the Cherokee. Elson represented the Navajo. And Baloo. Anyway, she's Comanche, Apache. And there were there from different tribes. And there were representatives there that had been enemies for something like 500 years. And we all took communion together under a tent there in Branson, Missouri. And that man right there started the whole thing, he and Kenneth Bagishi there, as far as our ministries are concerned. And then there was Nigel Big Pong. And then the man that was principal chief of the Crow. Anyway, he took me buffalo hunting on the Crow Nation, John and Jesse together. And a man by the name of Noe. It's just all of us together. And we had a meeting with the Crow Tribal Council and talking about tithing. He contacted Jesse and Jerry and me to come preach prosperity to the Crow Nation. So we did that. And the vice president said, I think I know why we're not prospering anymore and all the coal that we have on this reservation. I said, why? He said, well, we all tithe personally. But he said, the nation isn't tithing. Well, now the Crow became Christians way back. He said, do you think the nation should tithe? And I said, well, my ministry tithes on the ministry, the money that comes in. The church tithes outside of itself. Jerry said, my ministry tithes outside of itself. And so he said of his own notion, he said, I make a resolution here that the Crow Nation tithe, and we'll open this up. And the chief said, I second it. And it went into the bylaws of the Crow Nation.
Praise God.
I wish I could get into the bylaws of the United States Nation. I'm not saying that it won't. Praise God. So my invitation is to all those who are not partners with this ministry. I'm inviting you to come and take a part in this. So if you would, please, I'm asking all of you to stand. I've prayed this. Every partner service, every partner meeting, ever since I've been writing partner letters, at the strong encouragement of my spiritual father, Oral Roberts. And he said, when you begin to write that letter, he said, Kenneth, you're not writing that letter to get your needs met. You're writing it to get their needs met. And he said, when you write that letter, if you had any thought about will they give or not give when I wrote this, tear it up and write it again. Well, over the years, it took upon itself a format that I follow as closely as I possibly can. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose I am and whom I serve. And I pray for all of my partners and all of those that are praying about becoming partners. In the name of Jesus, any of my partners that don't have a job and they want a job, I'm asking you to get them the best job that they've ever seen, all the way up to owning the company, if it be your will. And all of our first responders, the policemen, the firemen, the military, that are partners and becoming partners. I stand on the soldier's promise in the book of Numbers. If you go to war, armed before the Lord, then you will return. And you will have joy and peace and be blameless in my eyes and blameless in the eyes of the nation. And I praise you for that. In the soldier's psalm, the 91st psalm, that they be protected from all plague, sickness, and disease. Hallelujah. With long life, you satisfy them and show them your salvation, your victory. Praise you, Lord. And for all of my partners that own their own businesses, right in this time of inflation and all that, and interest rates are going up and all that kind of thing. And other business people come to them and they say, I don't see how you do this. How do you just prosper in the middle of all of this? All of this high interest business and all of that. And my partners say, well, I can tell you how. I have a business partner and his name is Jesus. And this business has no debts. You don't have any debts? No, no. We own everything that we have. And we pay cash. That's the reason everybody comes to us and they want to sell to us first. But you can know him, and your business can prosper, even at the time of great inflation. And we praise you, and we thank you for that. And all of our partners that have children out in the world there someplace, and they don't know where they are or what they're doing, we send laborers across their path with the word of the living God, and they'll come home, or they will contact you today and they will call you and say, Mama, I need to come home. Well, then you don't hold anything against them. You say, come on home, baby. We've been listening for you and looking for you. And many have children that are incarcerated. but they're coming home because they're coming to know you through the Victory magazines in prisons and all of these things that are taking place there. We thank you, Father, for our partners. And for everyone that's born again, every marriage that's come back together, every healing that comes through this ministry, that comes through the partners of this other ministries that we sow into, it will go down in heaven by their name. Then they have the earth, they have the heavenly and earthly rewards coming for that. The same as Gloria and the same as me, the same as Pastor and Terry and the St. George. And that it is that we're partners. And we thank you for it. And Father, we promised you, Gloria and I promised you, that we would keep this ministry pure. That we would keep it pure on the Word of God. That we would keep it pure financially. And we would keep it pure sexually. And with your help, we have been able to do that. And we will continue to do it to the end. Whether Gore and I go by way of the grave or by way of the resurrection, it will be that way. And it is part of the strength and the bylaws of this ministry, even after we're gone. And I praise you for it. And now my invitation to whomever you are moving, Spirit of God, to become partners of this ministry. We receive them into this ministry as part of this end time team And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, those of you who would like to be a partner, just go to our partner booth out of the book table area, and they'll get you signed up. Let me mention to you, we'll begin the afternoon service at 2:30. That'll give you the opportunity to get something to eat, and all of my leadership that are listening to me right now, get word out to everybody of the time change. And what we'll do is at 2:30, we won't have music. I'll come up and I'll introduce our first speaker so that we can get right into the Word of God.
You get your envelope. There will be a wooden pencil in it.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
It will.
Yes, sir.
And you need it. Now, listen. I'm not telling you what to sow. That's not my business. But this is a two-way street. Am I expecting you to sow a blessing seed? Yes, I am. But I'm expecting to pray. You have no idea how many times you're prayed for in a day. I pray for you. Gloria and I do every meal we have. Every one of them. And, I mean, we have partner pictures and partner praying going on
all over the place. Yes, sir.
And then send me your picture. Because I have your face floating through my study. And I tried to wipe my partner in there one time, and I had you looking over my shoulder, so I went into the other part of my study. I thought, no. And I walk up there, and I look at your face. Those pictures are about this big. And I'll see what's behind you there, and I'll look at your eyes. And some men, I try to pull your beard, but I can't. And you just float by. And we come in at night and say good night to you as we go down the hall to our bedroom. And you're a part of our lives. And Kelly said when she and John were growing up that they actually thought you were part of our family.
So, that's true. They are. They really are.
They really are.
So until 2:30 this afternoon, remember this.
God loves you.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord.